here in just a few hours. And this is the time for Cheshbon and Nefesh. We have to evaluate ourselves. And yet, we seem to be quite confident. We seem to be settled down, cooled off, cool like cucumbers. And maybe, perhaps, justifiably, because the Gemara tells us that a person has to do tshuva before the Day of Judgment, and the Mishnah says in Avos, Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Misascha. That means a person has to do tshuva before his death. And the reason for that is because when he gets up to the next world, and he wants to enter into the pearly gate, so to speak, they're not going to waive him, they're not going to be mavater him or anything. And even if we have so many mitzvahs, if we have an avera, as the Rambam explains in his Pirush HaMishnayos, the myriad and the weight of the mitzvahs is not going to neutralize the avera. The avera, even one avera, is very severe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't receive, he doesn't accept any bribes. You know, mitzvahs cannot be bribes to force Hashem to look away from his averis. But that's okay before one's death. But as far as Rosh Hashanah is concerned, the Rambam in the third Perek Milchus Tshuva speaks about a different situation. Speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu weighing the mitzvahs against the averos. And if it's Zchuyosav Merubin al Averosav, al Avonosav, then he's Nechtam L'tzadik, L'chaim. So our situation as we approach Rosh Hashanah seems to be a very good one. After all, on a daily basis we daven three times, we recite 100 brachas each day, we wear a talis katan, we wear a talis gadol, we wear tefillin every day, we observe the Shabbos and the kashrus laws and so forth. Every word in Torah is considered like tarayag mitzvahs, right? Talmud Torah keneged kulam. And we believe in Hashem, that's the mitzvah emuna. We give tzedakah, we do chesed. Even Chazal say, the Rekim Shav Yisrael is Malayim mitzvahs karima. We're full of mitzvahs. And therefore, Bli Anhara, we're doing well. And certainly, we can say about ourselves, mitzvosav, merubin, miavonosav. So, okay, not everything's perfect. I'm not saying we do everything perfect. We're not going to go into detail over here, because, you know, Rabbi Yonan writes that just like Talmud Torah is greater than all the mitzvahs, so too the onesh, the punishment for bittul Talmud Torah, is greater than all the averis. And the Yerushalmi is famous at the beginning of Peah for saying the Lashon Hara connected kulam, which means that all the mitzvahs are not worth even one chet of Lashon Hara. But you know what? Hashem is a kel rachav v'chanun, rav chesed. He always looks towards chesed. And we have a phrase in Yiddish, tracht gut, v'zayin gut. If we think in the right positive way, it'll be good. Why should we see and look at the half a cup that's empty? Let's look at the half cup that's full. But I want to learn with you today the Sefer Vigadita of Rav Yankel Galinsky. And he bases himself to a large extent on the words of the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, who says at the beginning of the Sefer that if a person violates an Avera, he's considered a Rasha. And if afterwards he does tshuva, he transforms himself into a tzaddik. He goes from one extreme to the other, from a Rasha Gomur to a tzaddik Gomur. And this principle that an Avera generates rishus applies not only to an Isur Doraisa, but even to an Isur Midivrei Sofrim. And that's based on different sugis and shas. A person who sees someone else violate an Avera and he doesn't make a protest, he's also considered a Rasha. How much more so someone who doesn't fulfill a mitzvah aseh shel Torah, a person who has the ability to study Torah, he doesn't do so. The Chazal in the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Ki Dvar Hashem Baza. He humiliates, so to speak, Hashem, the word of Hashem, because he doesn't want to study the word of Hashem. He's for sure considered a Rasha, says the Baal HaTanya, even more than a violation of an Issur D'Rabbanan. So again, even though with regard to the din of Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines our status based on Rov, and if we have Rov Zchuyos, he's a tzaddik. But nevertheless, I still think that there's a very pressing, urgent need for us to do tshuva. And let's explain, based on the Rambam, in Perek Zayin Milchus Tshuva, Gedola Tshuva Shemekareves Es Adam L'Shechina. When a man does mitzvos, the Rambam says it's critical that he has a close, intimate relationship to the Shechina. He's not far away from the Shechina. And that's where tshuva comes and plays the major role. Tshuva brings the person close to the Shechina. And the Rambam quotes Pasuk after Pasuk. Hoshea Novi says, Shuv Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Amos says, Lo Shavtem adei Niyum Hashem. And that means that we can come close. Yirmiyah says, Im Toshuv Yisrael Niyum Hashem Eilai Toshuv. If we do tshuva, then we're dovek and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam writes, Tshuva Mekareves Es HaRachokim. It brings us close to Hashem. Emesh, before he did tshuva, just a few hours ago, Hayasanoi Lifneam Makom Meshukatz Umeruchak V'Toev Hafayom Hu Ohuv V'Nechmad Karov V'Yedid. And the Rambam writes, Kamamu Ula Malas HaTshuva, how great is tshuva? Emesh Hayamuvdal Hayazem Muvdal MeHashem Elokei Yisrael Shenemar Avanoseichem Hayamavdilim Beineichem Levein Elokeichem. Tzoek V'Eino Nane. He cries out to Hashem, and Hashem does not respond. Shenema ki sarbu tfila, tfila eineni shomea. Osem mitzvus v'tarfen osan b'fanav. Shenema mi bikesh zels miyedchem remos chatzeroi. Mi gam bachem v'yizgad lasayim. Hayom, now that he did tshuva mudbak b'shchinov, shenema v'yatem advekem Hashem alkechem, tzoek v'nena miyad. Shenema v'hoya terem yikro v'ani ene v'yosem mitzvos v'makablim roson b'nachas v'simcha shenema ki kvar rotza alokecha ha'alokim es ma'asecha v'lo er elah shemisavim lahem. And I ask the following question. The Rambam is speaking to a person who yesterday is muvdal me'ashem before he did tshuva, and why? Because of his avonos. And as we saw in the Sefer Tanya, a person who has an Avera is considered a Chote, he's considered a Rasha. And therefore he has an obligation of tshuva. And he has to realize, and who cannot admit that he has violated Averos? And therefore, he's a Chote, he's a Rasha, he has a Chi of tshuva. And not only that, if he's a Chote and a Rasha, Chas v'Shalom, even for one Avera, according to the Balatanya, then Osa Mitzvahs V'Tarfen Osolafon, if he wants to be Zocha B'Din on Rosh Hashanah, based on the weight and the quality and quantity of his mitzvahs, but the Rambam says that with regard to a Rosh, Osa Mitzvahs V'Tarfen Osolafon, Mi Bikesh Zos Miyedchem. And on the one hand, we are not free to exempt ourselves from mitzvahs. We're obligated to fulfill the mitzvahs, even if yitfufun lefanenu, we have to learn Torah, even though we are in this state of, as the Baal Tanya says, a Rasha, but nevertheless, we would like to reach that state where Hashem desires our mitzvahs, where our mitzvahs have an inherent significance and a weight, and in order to achieve that, we need to do tshuva to come close to Hashem. The pasuk says in Tehillim, and we recite it in Slichos, "Milufanecha mishpati yetze einecha techazena meyasharim." Milufanecha, we need a milufanecha. But if Chas v'Shalom, we're going to be described by the words of the Rambam as sonui mishukatz umruchok v'toevu muvdol me'Hashem elokei Yisrael, then how do we have the possibility of milafanecha mishpati yetze? And the story is told about the city of Tel Aviv. It's called the first Hebrew city. And from its beginning, there's a story that's told about a group of Bedouin, five very significant Bedouin who came up from the south, from the Negev, and they wanted to see the amazing city of Tel Aviv that they had heard so much about, and that the Jews had come back to their land and built a city. And Mayor Dizengoff, who was then the mayor of Tel Aviv, he personally gave them a tour of the city of Tel Aviv. And at the end of this tour, he had a little bit of a banquet, and he gave them rice, and he gave them the meatballs, and all sorts of good cookies and stuff, and so forth and so on. At the very end, he asked, "What can I give you?" Apparently, you came, and I want to give you a gift. And they looked one at each other, each one of these Bedouins, and one of them represented the others, and he said, "Look, we came up from the desert, from the Negev, and our main problem there is the lack of a water supply, both for human beings and for our animals. Here we saw something unbelievable. We saw that you open up a faucet that's connected to the wall, and you turn this handle, and the water just keeps flowing out. We're five people here, and we'd ask you if possibly you could give us five of these faucets. Each one gets a faucet, and that would enhance the whole nature of our life down in the south." And when we think about it, although they seem to make sense, but they're missing one major point. The faucets are not the source of the water. The faucets are connected to the source of the water. They just allow the water to flow. And in a certain sense, we could use this as a marshal in terms of our mitzvahs. We come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah and we say, "Look at all our mitzvahs." But the question is, mitzvahs is just like a faucet. They have to come from some source, from some holiness, from some purity. They have to be connected to the source, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the mitzvah of someone who did tshuva, who's no longer a Rasha. But if Chas V'Shalom hasn't been tshuva, then osa mitzvah tarf v'fanav, because basically we've cut off the faucet from its source of water, and our mitzvahs are not coming from the source. And therefore what we're doing is really mitzvahs by turning the beres. We're turning the faucet. This is the avod of El. We have to get close to Hashem. Yeshayahu HaNavi says, "Pnu elai v'hivashu." Turn close to me. And Rabbeinu Yonah in his classic Shari Tshuva writes that there are many different levels of tshuva, and each level as you go higher and higher represents a different closeness to the Creator. And within every level of tshuva, as we climb and ascend closer to Hashem, we'll find Slicha Mechila. And as we get to a higher level of tshuva Shlema, we get close to Dveikus Hashem. Instead of being Meshukatz V'Sanui Meruchak V'Toevu, become Ohu V'Nechmad Karov Yedid. We're no longer moved on Me Hashem Elokei Yisrael, but rather with Dovek B'Shechina. This is the closeness. This is Osim Mitzvos. And instead of Tarfim L'Fanav Chas V'Shalom, Hashem accepts the mitzvahs B'Simcha U'Misavim Lahem. And therefore what we have to do, this is the message of Chodesh El, as we enter in a few hours into Chodesh El, is to connect to the source of water, of the life, of the living water that gives us life. And then our mitzvahs are so much more meaningful as we come close to the source. And then we can hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be machria. He will tip the scale in favor of our mitzvahs as chuyos, and will come out victorious in the judgment. And if you ask therefore the question, what is the avod of El? And a person thinks that the avod of El is tshuva, but you know that's a little bit paradoxical, because tshuva is not a mitzvah seishas man grom. It's not time bound. It's not limited in time. On the contrary, tshuva is the whole year round. And when Rabbi Eliezer made his statement that we quoted earlier, Shuv Yom Echad Lifnei Misascha, and his Talmidim asked, "What do you mean? You should do tshuva one day before before you die? Does anybody know when he's going to die? The pasuk says, "Ki lo yeda ha'adam es ito." Pasuk in Koheles. And the Yom HaMisa is something that's completely covered, that's completely concealed from a person. So what do you mean, Rabbi Eliezer, when you tell me that I should do tshuva one day before I die? And his answer, his response was, Kol shkein yoshev hayom. You're right. That's exactly my point. Today is the day for tshuva. Shem yom eslam machar. He doesn't know. He might die tomorrow. V'nimtza kol yom b'tshuva. A person has to be involved in tshuva his entire life, every day. And this point is brought home by Rashi in his commentary on Koheles, on the Pasuk in Tess. In Perek Tess it says, B'chol eis yu v'gadecha levonim. You should know he has the white clothes. V'shemen al rosh chal yechsar. Says Rashi, V'gadecha levonim nishmascha tahor nikiyah. And shemen al rosh chal al yechsar. A person has to make sure his clothing, his neshama, his soul is always clean. And the shemen al roshcha, which according to the Gemara in Brachos, a person who sees shemen, he sees olive oil in his dream, he should expect the light of Torah. And on that, Rabbi Yochanan Zake gives his famous mashal, a king who invites his servants into a banquet. He didn't tell them exactly what time the banquet would take place, and the smart ones prepared themselves for the banquet. They sat on the Pesach Beis HaMelech, right there in the entrance. And they said the following: everything is prepared. Perhaps the Melech is going to call us in. Let's not have to prepare ourselves then. Let's be prepared. Whereas the Tipshim Shebahem in Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Mashal, they were going to work and they were saying, you know what, they'll call us up and we'll come to the Suda. And then at the end of the day, what happens? All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu invited his Avadim in. I mean, the Melech in the Mashal. And where were the Avadim? You know, the Tipshim were out there in work. You couldn't find them. It was only the Pikchim who were ready. And that's what we have to do. We have to be Pikchim. We have to be Klal Yisrael. Have to follow this rule. This has to be our creed. That B'chol Yom, B'chol Eis, Yu B'gadecha Levonim, Nishmascha Torah Tkia Utahora, and Yashuv Kol Yom B'tshuva. And this is what we have to be concerned about. And that's the entire year. This is not just on Erev Rosh Hashanah, on Chodesh El. And it's interesting, the Gemara says in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph, with regard to Rishayim, Shemetomer Shachuach Yom HaMisa Mehem, maybe the Rishayim are, in a sense, exempt because they don't think about Yom HaMisa, so why should they do tshuva? Talmud Lomar, V'achreyem B'fiyem Yirtzu Sela, Rashi explains, Esa'ofsid Lavo L'nafshamachar Avdonam Yirtzu V'yisapru Tomid V'yafal Pichay Neinem Chozrim. They are aware in some level of maybe it's not consciously, but perhaps in a deeper level, their latent awareness of what's going to happen in the future, they realize this, and yet they don't do tshuva. And that's the message that we have to take to heart. And the Shulchan Aruch has an interesting halach in Yoredeya, in the laws of Trefos, based on a Gemara Chulin, Re'at Shetzomka. What happened was, they shechted an animal, and when they did the internal investigation, they found that the lungs were completely shriveled up. And that is an indication of a fear, of a sudden fear. That's how it impacts on the heart. And the question is this animal with this Re'ah Shetzomka, is it a treif or not? So the Gemara says, and it's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Imidei Shamayim Kshera. If there was some sort of in other words, the question is, what caused the fear of the animal? Why was the animal gripped by fear? And the answer is, if it was Bidei Shamayim, meaning there was some sort of natural phenomenon, there was some sort of storm that broke out, a thunderstorm, or a lightning storm. So it's true that the animal was overwhelmed by fear, but only for that moment, only on a temporary basis. And therefore what happened to the heart or the lungs of the animal, that's on a permanent mum. You know, that's going to heal itself with the passage of time, and the animal doesn't become trefa. But if bidei adam, if on the other hand the animal became overwhelmed by fear because of man, you know, the hunter was there and about to kill the animal, and the animal therefore has this rea tzomka, then that change in the lungs of the animal is something permanent. It's not going to be healed. It's not going to return to its original state, and therefore the animal is a trefa. And the Bahag says, what is bidei adam? If the animal sees another animal being slaughtered in its presence, that itself is a pachad bidei adam. And that creates a trefa of rea tzomka. And he says, "Ma'ase sheshachtu kam behem zu b'fnei zu." He actually testifies that they shechted animals one in front of the other, and they discovered that all the other animals, after the first shechita, had reos. They had each one had a rea shetzomka. And again, what is this rea shetzomka? It's not just a momentary fear, but it is a permanent change in the animal. The animal is ultimately going to die from this fear. And that makes the animal to trefa. And if we could use this symbolically, when we look to the left or the right, and we hear story after story, and sometimes it's even close friends of ours, Nebuch, who suffer from very, very harsh critical diseases, or we go to a funeral, and yet nobody has this tzomka rea. You know, we have some sort of a coldness about it. You know, it didn't happen to us. You know, we really should have a tzomka rea. Hashem is sending us messages here that should instill a certain fear, a yira. Maskir lo yom ha-misa. It's interesting that the pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech describes man on the lowest level, Adam biyikar v'lo yavin nimshal kebehemos nidmu. He says that a man who's endowed with such a precious soul, yet v'lo yavin, he doesn't know how to use his divinity and his potential spirituality to its best, and therefore he's similar to a behema. In other words, at least he has that element of nimshal kebehemus. We in a sense are not even nimshal behemus, because the behema has at least a rea nitzmekes. You know, she has an intuitive, natural sense of crisis, of fear. And we don't have that. You know, our hearts, our lungs are perfectly healthy. We don't look around. The Chafetz Chaim used to say that the population is divided up into different groups. There are the rich people, the poor people, the more high-status people, and those who are more rank-and-file citizens. There are healthy people, there are, unfortunately, sick people. And everyone puts themselves into one category. He can define for himself if he belongs to this group or that group. And when a person hears, says the Chafetz Chaim, about somebody who passed away, he always has an answer that he belonged to a certain group, you know, and it's never his own group. You know, he belonged to that group. And really, there's a group of people that die, and those are the ones who die. You know, that's not my group. You know, he never thinks about himself that maybe he'll die. He somehow convinces himself that he'll live eternally, he'll never die. But you know what? Even though he in his mind he thinks he's going to live till 100, or maybe 119, but nevertheless the pasuk says, and we read it before, "Ki lo yeda ha'adam es ito kadogim shenechazim b'mitzodo rog." Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles that a person doesn't know the day of his death, and ein misa v'lo chet. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that if a person dies, it's because he has sin. And yet for some reason, although he's seeing the fish caught, a cat being caught in the net to the left or to the right, yet he thinks, me? Nobody's gonna catch me in the net. And why? Is it true he has no averos? For sure he has averos. And on one level a deeper level of consciousness, he doesn't fool himself, but he always has answers. You know, he always convinces himself there's nothing to worry about. Up in the heavenly courts, they'll take into consideration all the different factors. And as the pasuk says, Yiplo mitzido elef, or vamino elav lo yigash, he thinks that although people are dying left and right, it's not going to happen to him. And it's so natural. This is our natural response. It's almost a self-preservation, a psychological protection for ourselves. But in a certain sense, we're living in a dream world. The pasuk says in Mishlei, kol derech ish yashar bi'enav. And what does that mean? He looks and he observes that the derech ish, he knows that the ish is going on a distorted pathway, but yashar bi'enav, as far as he's concerned, he's going on the right path, and everything's fine. Ain't on the mesem atzmo rasha. He always finds some sort of justification for himself. And he puts himself on a higher level. And again, we're not talking about stupid people. We're not talking about cynical people. Even great people fit into this description of Yashar Bi'enov. And a person says about himself that kol darkei ish zach bi'enov, all the ways that I travel on it and I follow it, and all the pathways are great. You know, I am Zay Hashem and Zay Echtar. And the question is, are we ready to do tshuva? And we have to do tshuva not only for chatoim, but even for mitzvahs, if we don't do the mitzvahs properly. But how can we accept upon ourselves this tzivui, this command of doing tshuva, if everybody thinks that, you know, I'm cocksure of myself. I have no insecurities. I know I'm doing the great thing. The Gemara tells us Chagiga, an amazing story about the history of Elisha ben Avoya, who's known as Acher. He was one of the greats of the Tanoim. In fact, he was one of the four Tanoim about which the Gemara Chagiga says, Nichnesu lapardes. They went into the secrets and they delved into the mystical foundations of the Torah, the Maisa Merkava. But nevertheless, he, Elisha ben Avoya, did not come out from this whole thing in a healthy way. Rabbi Akiva came out, Baruch Hashem, healthy, but he came out and he went out and became a heretic and a denier. And the Gemara tells us in Erevin, Gadol v'yadul lefnei mi she'amar v'ayo olam she'ein b'dor sh'rav Meir Kamoso. The Gemara tells us there was no one in the generation of Reb Meir who reached up to the level of Elisha ben Avuya. V'lo omdu chaver v'alsof daito, no one can understand his profound depths in Torah. Rabbi Meir was a student, the great Rabbi Meir was a student of Elisha ben Avuya. And the Gemara tells us what happened. What was it about Elisha ben Avuya that this great man just completely fell apart? He went off to derech. And the Gemara in Chagiga tells us, Zemer Yevani lo pasak mipiv, sifrei minim ayinoshu micheko. He had a tremendous appreciation, tremendous esteem for secular culture. And Rabbi Meir did not give up on his Rebbe. And he kept begging him, Chazar b'cha, look how far you've gone, look how deep you've fallen, please. You have very solid roots, you're a great scholar, please, do tshuva. And Acher looks at his Talmud, and he tells him about his father, Avoya. His father was one of the greats in Yerushalayim. And on the day of Elisha's Mila, he calls all the great Sochrim of Yerushalayim, he gathers together in a room, and he invites Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Everybody is together, they eat and they drink and they begin to sing and they dance. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua says, Ad she'elu oskim b'shalahem nasuk b'shalonu. So even though everyone at the Suda was dancing and singing and eating and drinking, they, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, the great Tanoim, started learning Torah. Heim oskim b'shalahem nasuk anu b'shalonu. And they started learning Torah. And the Eish min HaShamayim came down from Shamayim and surrounded them. And Avuya said, Rabosai, what's going on? My masters, are you coming? V'chilisrof Beisi Basim, you came here to my house to burn up my house. And they responded, Chalila v'chas, heaven forbid. But rather, Yoshvim ayinu v'chozrim divrei Torah v'yadvarim smechem k'nesinasem misinai. Through our beautiful learning of Torah together v'chavrusa, and the simcha therein, it became like a replica of Nesinas HaTorah b'Sinai v'chol pa'esh nitnu. The Torah itself was given in fire. Here too, the Torah came with fire, and the fire came down from heaven and surrounded us. And Avuya responded with the declaration, Hol v'kach kochash haTorah, if that's the power of Torah, then if Yiskayim HaBen HaZeh, if this son of mine will grow and mature in a healthy way, l'Torah ani mafrisho, I will separate it for the study of Torah. And Elisha said about it, about this, lo hoisa kavanosam l'shamayim, that my father did not have the proper intention l'shem shamayim. He just wanted to have this impressive fire come down. He was so impressed by these tanoim, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, he wanted his son to be in that category. Is l'fichach lo niskayim abi. That's what the Yerushalmi and Chagiga tells us. So that's it. Elisha turns to his Talmud, Rabbi Meir, says, look, I'm not guilty here. It's my father who's guilty. But you know what? Elisha goes even further. He tells us that his mother was also guilty. When my mother was pregnant, says Elisha, with me inside her womb, she would pass in front of Avodah Zarah. She would smell the smells of the tigroves of Avodah Zarah, the incenses that they burned for the Avodah Zarah, for the idol worship. And nitkafa bulmus. Now the law is that a pregnant woman who smells these smells, even from something that's prohibited, we're allowed to feed it to her if she has bulmus, if she gets to that point in which her life is endangered, the life of the fetus may be endangered as well. So she ate from this tikrovus of Avodah Zarah. And as a result, her entire body shook like she had been bitten by a snake, the toxic poison of the snake. And the Gemara tells the Kiddushin Shlosh Shut Fibiona. So I can blame my father Avuya because his kavana was not L'shem Shemayim. I can blame my mother because she ate from tikrovus of Avodah Zarah while I was an embryo. But again, there's the third shutuf, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we can't exempt the third shutuf either. And Rabbi Meir responds, he says, Chazor Becha. And Elisha says, I can't do tshuva. Why? Because I passed, when I was serving in the Kodesh Kadoshim, I mean, when the Kohen Gadol was serving in the Kodesh Kadoshim, I passed by, I was riding my horse, it was Yom Kippur, and it was also Shabbos. It was a Shabbos Yom Kippur. And I heard from the Kodesh Kadoshim, a baskel that came out from the Kodesh Kadoshim, and it declared, Shuvu bonim chutz mi'acher. Sheyoda kochi umarad bi. The baskel itself declared that anyone could do tshuva except for Acher, because Acher recognized the greatness of Hashem. He was a giant, Acher, and yet he rebelled against me. So now, not only is Elisha's father, Avuya, guilty, and his mother, but now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guilty because he made this declaration. And Rabbi Meir doesn't give up. Rabbi Meir forces him to come into the Beis HaMedrash. And very often, if you want to discover, you know, something about the future, then you go over to a child and you ask him, what pasuk in Chumash or in Tanakh are you studying? That's called Psoklanu Psukha. And Chazal describe how Rabbi Meir is able to entice his Rebbe Acher into the Beis HaMedrash, and they turn to the child, Psok Lanu Psukcha, and he quotes the child quotes a pasuk in Tilim Perek Nun, Vela Rosh Amar Al Kim Malach Al Saper Chukai. Now, it seems that this child did not have a clear pronunciation, and he was stuttering a little bit. And instead of Larosha Omar, what Elisha ben Avuya heard was Ule Elisha Omar, Elokim Malach Al Saper Chukai. And Elisha turns to Rabbi Meir and he says, "You see that even in Shamayim they don't agree. They're not willing to accept me in tshuva, so what's the point?" In other words, if he desires to hear that Hashem doesn't want him in tshuva, he's going to base himself on some sort of stuttering. And at the end of the day, Rabbi Meir was notified about his Rebbe Acher, that he was on his deathbed. Rabbi Meir came quickly, found him in his last stages of life, and sent him chazor v'chadu tshuva, as Rabbi Meir had sent him many, many times. And the Gemara tells us that Acher responded, V'im oshuv eskabel, if I do tshuva, will Hashem accept me? And Rabbi Meir quoted the pasuk in Tilim, Toshev enosh adaka ad dichducha shel nefesh, V'tomer shuvu bnei adam. A person should always do tshuva, as long as he has the last breath in his nostrils. Elisha started crying, and he passed away. And Rabbi Meir declared, Dome shemitoch tshuva niftar. It seems that he did tshuva before he died. And one could ask the obvious question. He had all these excuses. He blamed his father. His mother was guilty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was guilty. The Megam game, the stutterer was guilty. And all of a sudden, he asks the question, Oh, Efshar, is it not too late? Im Oshuv Eskabel? And the answer is that there's a moment in everyone's life where all his excuses and all his alibis just completely fall apart. And man becomes aware of the fact, he recognizes that all these excuses are meaningless and they're not genuine. The moment of truth is come. And this for us is a very important message. We want more than anything else to be Zocha Bedin. The judgment is coming closer. As we said before, in Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us. And all our excuses that, you know what, we're good guys, and we did what we could, and basically Hashem will judge us favorably, we have so many schlios. You know, now the moment of truth is coming pretty close, and we have no possibility of giving all these, you know, half-baked excuses and being laid back about it. We really are coming face to face in front of the reality, the realization that we cannot fool ourselves. We cannot in any way convince ourselves that we don't have to do tshuva, that we're okay, that we're in a secure position. During the year, we fool ourselves. We say, this one died, that one died, this one got sick, that one got sick. It's not going to happen to me. But when Elul comes, and we come closer to the moment of truth, to the day of judgment, all these ideas that we convince ourselves that we're not guilty and we have nothing to worry about, all that falls apart. It's like sand that goes through our fingers and falls on the ground. That's what Elul is about. Elul is about the fact that we have not paid attention to all the things that go on in our lives and are going on and happening around us. As we say in the Vidu Tafalu Sheker, we don't pay any attention, we give all these excuses, and we live a life of Sheker. And Elul comes and declares, you know what, the Yom HaDin is coming very close. And we only should be asking one question, Im Noshuv Niskabel, can we do tshuva? At this last moment, before the Yom HaDin, will our tshuva be accepted? And the response to that is, Toshev Enosh Adakov Atomer Shuvu Bnei Adam. And the Chayei Adam, which is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah as being something great in Klal Kuf Mem Gimel. Again, we can't go through the entire Klal, but just to highlight some of the points that he makes. He speaks about the takana of blowing shofar from Rosh Chodesh Elul and on, so that a person should pay attention to the fact that he's being warned before the judgment, and his heart within him should begin to melt. Libo yachil bekirbo, says the Chayei Adam. And he realizes that now he's being called in front of the king for judges, for judgment. And the ayin, the divine eye, will meticulously judge him. And all his actions have been recorded in that ledger on high. Even the smallest activity, he picked up his finger, all this is recorded. And he has to understand that he will be ushered into the heavenly courts for his judgment. And there's no action that he engaged in that will be ignored. And now that they're bringing him in front of Din, imagine if he would have been brought in front of a physical king who's made of flesh and blood, and he's being judged by the king, certainly he would be overwhelmed by a charada gdola, an amazing fear. He would be trembling, and he would try to figure out what can he do. He would not leave any stone unturned. He would try everything that he could do, any method. Perhaps he could find a defense for himself. And it would never occur to him that he could turn to the right or turn to the left. And he could decide to ignore the din, the justice. He knows that he's being brought in front of the Melech, in front of the Melech Basar Adam, the king. And he's got to be absolutely serious here, because what's happening is a Yom Tzar. He's got to figure out how he can save himself from a terrible judgment. And if this is the feeling of a person who's being brought in front of a human king for judgment, how much more so if a person is being brought in front of the Melech Malchei HaMelachim, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who, if Chas V'Shalom will decide to punish him, it could be a punishment in which he, Chas V'Shalom, will lose his money, his possessions. He'll become very poor. Or, Chas V'Shalom, God could decide to strike his body, or the worst, his children. This is like life imprisonment. And the most terrible things could happen in judgment. And the Chayei Adam, Rav Avraham Dantzig, was very aware of this fear of judgment. To him, it was a reality. He mamish experienced it, he felt it, he saw it in front of his eyes. And therefore, as we enter in to Chodesh Elul, he says, and how much more so when we begin Slichos, again, the Sfaradim begin Slichos already in Rosh Chodesh Elul, what we have to realize is this is a time period of Bikur HaKarban, meaning before you bring a sacrifice, you have to investigate the animal to see that it's not a Balmum. And these are the stages. We start with Elul, we go to Slichos, then we enter into the Eser Yisrei Tshuva. These are days of judgment, din v'mishpat, and we don't know what the outcome is going to be, and therefore every single individual is obligated to be very serious during this time period, to think and take things to heart. Maybe he should be required to do what we call a hisbodidus, and this is what the Chayei Adam advocates. He writes, l'mayit basakov, he should take time out from his work, Likvoa bayom uvalaila shows miyuchados lisbodi bechadorov. During this period of time, he should set up a time period on a nightly basis to lock himself into a room privately and to analyze himself, to subject himself to a very profound and serious, genuine introspection. And he should wake up early in the morning and dedicate himself to the Darkei Tshuva. This is what has to happen during this period of time, says the Chayei Adam. Lishpos sichal if they borrow. He should pray and cry, break down in front of his creator. Lisvados alavanosov. He should recite the confession over his sins. V'yosef lasos mitzvos. He should dedicate himself to do more mitzvahs than usual. U'maisim tovim v'lasik b'tor yosef ma'shosef b'shar yimos hashana. See to it that he does more, increases his Torah learning than the rest of the year. Yarva b'tztok yosef mikol shana. Ki ha'eis. And it's interesting that this presentation of the Chayodim, which received such accolades for the Mishnah Berurah in Tafresh Gimel, Sifkat Gimel, is really based on the words of Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, who writes, "Sheyamay basakov," that during this period of time, he should limit his preoccupation, "Kidei lahadbir ayira," to focus on Yiras Shamayim, Lachtor L'tshuva, to try to gradually, step by step, dig himself a path for tshuva. Ha'imu adin l'Torah, and he should dedicate himself to increase his learning of Torah, but at the same time, yesh lahagdish. And, oh, so here's the question. The Shari Tshuva says, Yemay basokev te lahad be'ayira v'lachtar b'tshuva. And the question is, if you have a person who has a job, he's involved in his work, then certainly the Shari Tshuva and following suit the Chayodim advocate that he should curtail his work in order to give himself more time for tshuva and for cheshbon nefesh. But the Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva does not address the following question. What about a person who's dedicated to the study of Torah? He's a full-time kolnik, he's a full-time yeshiva bacha. Should he curtail his Talmud Torah during this period of time? Steal time from Torah study in order to dedicate time for cheshbon nefesh, for tshuva, even if as a result he's going to forfeit some of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Or perhaps that maybe he shouldn't curtail his Torah study because the Gemara says in Kiddushin that Torah itself is a tavlin for the eight hearts, the antidote to the powers of evil that allure us. So if he wants to do tshuva, Torah and its study will be a great way of doing tshuva. And in fact, the Chayodim himself writes that takon is hashivenu avinu l'sar secha v'karvenu malkeinu l'avodah secha. Hashivenu avinu l'sar secha means to the extent to which we increase our esek haTorah, to that extent, karvenu malkeinu l'avodah secha will be misrabah, will be miskariv takonish baruch through our avodas. Our avodah will increase, we'll get close to Hashem through Torah. So the answer to this question perhaps lies in the Gemara in Yoma. The Gemara Daf Ayin Vav Amin Aleph says that the Talmidim of Rashbi asked their Rebbe, why is it that the man fell for our ancestors in the desert on a daily basis? Why not once a year? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have brought about a great miracle that there would be such a volume of man that would fall once a year that the Jewish people would have a supply of man for the entire year. And Rav Shimon bar Yochai responded with a mashal. He gave them the metaphor of a king who has one son, and he has an allowance that he gives the son, and he gives him a sum of money once a year, and that's supposed to last the son for the entire year. And the son went off on his way. He would come back to see his father once a year in order to receive his allowance. And then the father, the king, decided, you know what? I'm going to give you a daily allowance. I'm no longer going to give you the lump sum. I'm going to give you 1/365th of what you would get, and you'd have to come on a daily basis. So that this way, his son, the prince, would come to visit his father, the king, on a daily basis. So too, Klal Yisrael. If a person had a family of 4 or 5 kids, whatever it was, he'd be worried and he'd say, maybe tomorrow the man wouldn't come and we're going to die. We're going to die of starvation. And therefore we have to rely on Hashem and we have to dedicate ourselves to a close relationship with Hashem on a daily basis. And every day we're going to come and receive the man from the compassionate hands of Hashem as a miracle from Hashem. Now, the strange thing is that in the same Masechta, in Yoma, but earlier in the Masechta, Daf Hei, the Gemara asks a question when Aaron HaKohen wore the Begadim, that's called the Seder Levishas Big Day Aaron, and the Gemara analyzes what exactly was the sequence, which Beged of the Big Day Kahuna did he put on first, which did he put on second. The Gemara says, "My Dahava Hava, why are you asking this question? Whatever Aaron did is irrelevant to us." And we could also ask the question, whatever it is that was the Seder Advarim, you know, the way that Aaron put on his begadim, it could have been different. Like, what difference does it make? And in general, we have a principle in the Achronim, in the Bali HaMusar, like for example, the Ramchal, Ein b'efsharus avodaseinu mugvelos lahavin lama lo nas acheres. In general, we never ask questions, why was it done this way, why isn't it done another way? We'll never really get an answer to that question. There are thousands of answers that are possible to give an answer, but we'll never know which one is correct. And therefore, we're wondering, why do we care about the way the man came down? What underlies the question, the curiosity of the Talmidim that they ask Rav Shim Bar Yochai? And this is recorded in the Gemara in Yom HaDaf Ayin Vav for all eternity. Why did Hashem bring down the man in this way and not in that way? We never can know the answers to those questions. Whatever happened back in the Midbar, that's my Dava. Like the Gemara says about the Big Day Kahuna, what was the Seder Levisha of Aaron? The Gemara answered, it's my Dava. It could have been this way, it could have been that way. We'll never understand exactly. We have a limited faculty of intellectual comprehension. But the answer is that they were asking Rav Shim Bar Yochai a very profound question. And that is, you know what, Rav Shim Bar Yochai, your shita is, this is your philosophy of life, as recorded by the Gemara Brachos Slamet Hei Amud Beis, that a person should dedicate himself to the study of Torah. Not like Rabbi Yishmael who says, V'yasafta d'gonecha, and the answer is, Haneg Bohem Minig Derech Eretz. The Rabbi Shmuel would advocate that a person go out, get a job, earn his bread, and even though it says, Lo Yomush Sefer Torah Zemipicha, but nevertheless, V'asafta D'gonecha, you've got to dedicate yourself to work. But you, Rabbi Shim Bar Yochai HaRevi, you're famous for saying, Efshar Adam Choresh B'shas Chrishas, or B'shas Ruah, Kosev B'shas Ktir Dosh B'shas Disa, or B'shas Ruah. He says a person who can dedicate himself to all the agricultural activities is Torah Matei Oleh. He won't have any time for the study of Torah. But rather, we should assume that if Yisrael is Osim Ritonim Shal Makom, is Malachtam Nasal Yedei Cherim, there'll be others who will do the Malacha for us. And not only that, but Malachas Acherim Nasis Al Yodam. I mean, well, if it's Ein Osim Ritonim Shal Makom, and the Gemara at the end of this sugya in Brachos Lamed Hei says, "Omer Abay Harbi Asuk Rabbi Shmuel Vi Also Biyodim Rabbi Shim Bar Yochai Velo Also Biyodim." And that's what the Mishnah codifies in the second parak of Avos called Torah Sheinim Amalacha Sof Betel Goreres Avon. And that's what it's Gepaskin in Shulchan Aruch and Aruchaim Kuf Nun Vav. So it seems clearly that the bulk. The bulk of the evidence weighs in favor of Rabbi Shmuel against Rabbi Shim Bar Yochai, and Rabbi Shim Bar Yochai's approach is not acceptable for Klal Yisrael, and that's what the Mishnah writes in the Bir Alach in Kuf Nun Vav. He says, "Kosva Asfarim Shezeu Shenemar LeKlal Olam SheEin Kulam Yicholim Lizkos Lalos LeMadrega Ramazu Lios Iskam Rak B'Torah Leval VeNoshim Yechidim Yuchlu LiMotzim Chol Ofen." The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shemitah Yovel says something similar, that although for the rank and file Jew who's not on this super-duper level, he has to dedicate himself to Parnasa, but nevertheless, in the case of Yechidim, of those exceptionals who want to be like Shevet Levi, as the Ram describes it, Kol ish mi boy olam asher nodva rucho savino madol ibodol lamen ofnei Hashem l'shar sali avdol l'das Hashem, etc., etc., and he wants to be porek mi olav cheshbonus arabim, then is kadish kodesh kadoshim, and Hashem will take care of him. Yizakehu l'olam hazeh, dovar maspiklo, etc., etc., and of course, he's on the highest level. The Bir Halacha says that's what the Gemara means. And Harbe also Kriv Shimbar Yochai will also be Yoda. You know, if the masses want to follow the recommendation of the menu, if we call it, of Rav Shimbar Yochai, that's not going to be good. That's because it's Harbe also the Rabbin. That's not the Derech of the Rabbin. But for the Yechidim, that's okay. So the Talmidim asked Rav Shimbar Yochai, if we want to prove Rabbi Yishmael, we just can prove it from the man. Because the man would fall on a daily basis, and it wasn't so easy to bring in the man. It was a big to-do. The Mechilta says in Parshas Beshalach, in the Parshas of Man, Lo hevi on HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'derech ha-pshuta l'etzol derech midbar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them through the desert. Meaning Rav Shimbar Yochai, Omer lo nitne Torah lijosh el li ochle aman, shniim lahem v'yochle truma. And yet, the man fell on a daily basis. They had to go out with all this tircha and collect the man every single day. And Chazal described how only in the case of special tzaddikim, the man would fall right there on the Pesach HaOhel. Again, even though that requires also a little bit of work to collect the man. The Beinanim, the man would be out there, the Pesach HaMachne. And keep in mind, the Machne Yisrael was 12 mil, which the Mishnah Berurah Tofnun test calculates as Chaf Dalet Elef Amos. That takes hours to walk. And then those who weren't even on the level of Beinanim is Shaktu V'Laktu B'Merchak. They'd have to go out very far. So there's a lot of Bittul Torah here. So on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Klal Yisrael to the Midbar 40 years, instead of taking them straight into Eretz Yisrael where they'll get involved in agriculture, he wants to give them those 40 years of Torah study, but at the same time, the hassle of, on a daily basis, bringing in the man would certainly decrease their dedication to Torah study. And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch was teaching us for all generations that the way Rabbi Shmuel would have it, go out there and collect the man. It's not going to come and, you know, and be there for you, you know, in your fridge. You're going to have to go out there and search and seek it out to collect it. So again, what the Talmidim of Rabbi Shimbar Yochai were asking about why the man didn't fall once a year was not just a question of my dava hava, who cares that HaKadosh Baruch could have done it in many different ways and why speculate this way or that way. They felt that since Rav Shimbar Yochai himself was the one who taught that the purpose of man was to avoid going into Eretz Yisrael, dedicating themselves to the daily agriculture, than being betelim in a Torah, but rather they would be able to drink and eat from the man, eat from the man and drink from the Mebe'er and the Torah, and dedicate themselves to Torah. So, l'shitascha, why do they have to go out and collect the man on a daily basis, Nana? And that proves the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael. Hanigbem minig derech eretz. Oh, but what was Rabbi Shimbar Yochai's response to them? You made a mistake, and I'm going to insist that my approach is correct, and we should dedicate ourselves totally and exclusively to the Torah study. You're asking about the man. Why did it fall once a year? Why did it fall once a year? The answer is that the man played a special role. It was the mashgiach of Klal Yisrael, the Midbar. You know, every yeshiva has a mashgiach who supervises, who guides. And the mashgiach of Klal Yisrael was the man. And in addition to the fear on a daily basis, maybe they wouldn't be worthy of this great miracle of man, and it would stop, it would terminate, and they couldn't live without the man. There's an additional, inspiring message here in the man. The Gemara tells us that the man, on the pasuk haman kizera God love on hayamagid avonoseim shel Yisrael malbinam. If a person sinned, he would have to wake up the next morning and go very far in order to get access and collect the man. And as a result, the man told him it's time to do tshuva. And then the next day, Haman kizera God love on nislabnu avonosa miskapu avonu, he did tshuva, and the next day he found the man right in front of him. So the man on a daily basis would in a sense evaluate and transmit to the person where he's holding. Rabbi Yecheskel Levenstein was one of the great mashgichim here in Eretz Yisrael in Bnei Brak, and he once was told that we think that in our generation there's something unique, that it's very difficult to be a mashgiach and to give tochacha, and the mashgichim are not very popular. But the truth is that already at the time of the Dardea, Klal Yisrael responded v'nafshenu katzav v'alechem aklokel. In other words, the man was them ochiach, and they wanted to get rid of the man. People didn't want the mashgiach. People don't want to feel guilty. But the answer is, says Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that the man would fall on a daily basis, and sometimes they'd have to walk for hours and hours to retrieve the man, to get access to the man. And that's because in order to be introspective and to make a cheshbon nefesh and to cleanse ourselves of sin, in order to make sure that we pay attention and we improve our ways, then even at the expense of tircha and limiting our time period in Torah learning, even though the whole experience of man was for the purpose of increasing our Torah, but nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that the Jewish people would do tshuva when they had to do tshuva, they would engage in the process of introspection on a daily basis in order to keep them, you know, within their bounds and make sure they don't go off, and even at the expense of Talmud Torah. And that really answers the original question that we had, although Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't address this question. He says, Yemai Basakov, that during this period of time, as we enter closer and closer to Rosh Hashanah, we should be limiting our time at work, and we should spend time, as we saw in the Chayodom, on a daily basis. We should be Koveya, time for his bodidus, bechadorov, lesasik v'darkei tshuva, kishon ha-maisa, lishpoch sichu v'nei boro, lesvaras avonos, all this. And we ask the question, but what about someone who's dedicated to Torah study? Can he fall back on the principle and kedushin of Torah is the tavlin? And the answer is no. In this case, bitula zeu kiyuma. If a person is mevatel Torah in order to improve his status as a religious Jew, his piety, his dedication, his love of Hashem, he's going to be misboded, he's going to do tshuva, he's going to ask Hashem, he's going to come with a broken heart, then he'll be zocha to siyata d'shmaya. The Gemara tells us in Brachos, Adaf Nun Hei, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosein Chachma L'mi Sheyesh Bo Chachma. Pasuk in Daniel, Yoiv Chachmaso L'chachimin. And the question is, how is he going to get the first chachma? And the answer is, hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim. That means that the first chachma that the person acquires is the chachma of yira, of yira shamayim. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pump him up with more and more chachma. So Reishis chachma, the first chachma, is yira Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares that he'll be a nosein chachma l'mi sheyesh lo chachma. If he has the Yiras Hashem, he'll get chachma. If he doesn't have the Yiras Hashem, he won't get chachma. And therefore, if we pay the price of giving up a little bit of our Torah study in order to achieve and intensify our first level chachma of namely Yiras Hashem, Reishis Chachma, Yiras Hashem, then and only then will HaKadosh Baruch Hu pour into us HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that Chachma Misha Yesh Baruch Chachma, more and more Chachma. And the Gemara in Yuma cries out about Talmidei Chachamim that dedicate themselves to Torah study, but they don't have Yerushamayim. Again, I wouldn't say that they don't have any Yerushamayim, but they haven't worked on improving and intensifying their Yerushamayim. They have to work on that Reishis Chachma, on the first level of Chachma, in order to achieve more and more Chachma. And for that, they need Yerushamayim. There's a famous vart from the Arizal who says on what it says in the Gemara Megillah Chavtes, Mevatlin Talmud Torah Lotzos HaMes Lachnosis Kala. What's Otzos HaMes and what's Achnosis Kala? Otzos HaMes means Sur Meira, means cleansing ourselves of Tumas Mes. And Achnosis Kala is really Asei Tov, meaning to bring us the R of Shechina. And then, of course, we'll be zocher to Talmud Torah. But it's mevatlin Talmud Torah. Why? We have to mevatl Talmud Torah to dedicate ourselves to tshuva and to upgrading our dveikus in Shechina. And therefore, what the Chai Adam is advocating, based on the Shari Tshuva, is true universally for every Jew, whether he's working, 9 to 5 or whatever his hours are, or whether he's dedicated to kol study. Even a person who's dedicated to the study of Torah, nevertheless, during this period of time of Elul, has to take off time in order to try to introspect and dedicate himself to the great, great challenge of this time, preparing ourselves for the Yom HaDin that is fast and approaching by being osek bedarkei atshuva, yiratzam it be his will, that we take advantage of every opportune moment in the month of Elul and successfully do tshuva, coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we said in the name of the Rambam, if chas v'shalom is a rosh, is tarfim mitzvahs b'fanov, emesh hayamuvdol me'ashem elokei Yisrael, mishukatz mitoav, etc. But today, after successfully implementing a process of tshuva, he's close to Hashem. Hashem desires his mitzvahs. His relationship to Hashem is not only one of tzoek v'nena miyad, but moreover, he is beloved to Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after receiving and accepting his tshuva, considers him an ohuv, a nechmad, a karov v'yedid. Let's not be like Elisha ben Avui and wait until the moment of truth. The mitzvah of tshuva is the whole year round. But now we're coming close to that moment of truth. No more alibis, no more excuses. Look around you and see what's happening. Realize that, shuv yom echad lifnei moscha. And if we do tshuva, our zchios, our mitzvos will be accepted and will certainly be judged for ourselves, our families, and all of Klal Yisrael. Li'alta l'chaim tovim, in the book of life, Kedi Ratzon, Amen.